The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to February 2009.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and here in Detroit on a cold February day, we're still hoping for spring. We got some spring in our heart, and so we're going to go through these questions hopefully cheerfully and rapidly. Let me introduce today's panel to you. To my left, from the College of Engineering and Sciences, it's Pre-College Engineering Programming Director. It's Dan, the Dapsep Man Maggio.
Hi, Kathy.
And he's also a skip at curling. So how's the curling going?
It's going well, actually.
It's such a
great
sport.
Get a little better every day.
It's great for the winter, you know?
It is. I enjoy it.
Why not?
So I curled with Mr. Boats on
Mr.
Tuesdays.
Boats, all right, excellent.
Yeah, so that's exciting.
Okay, and to my right, from the College of Liberal Arts and Education, the chair of the History Department, the keeper of our Black Abolitionist Archives, and the author of a really interesting article about the Black president,
Thanks.
Or Black presidency, just published in AHA, was it?
OAH.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Organization of American Historians. It's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy. Despite the cold and other things, nothing's taken the bloom off my rose. We got our minor in history approved unanimously today.
That's right,
today,
through so. ALT. You got to. Oh, that's why you got the tie on. Okay.
Yes. That's you thought it was for... No,
I did. I was for a moment going to say, that's so flattering, you know?
It was a long and grueling meeting. There was, in fact, one question asked.
Was it the assessment question?
No,
because
that person was not there.
Oh.
It was... Is this going to cost us anything?
Oh, okay.
And when I answered, no, in fact, it will not.
That's
it. What other questions?
There you go.
What else can we get you?
Yes, the Jesuits' motto is Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, all for the greater glory of God. I have often claimed that this institution's motto should be, who's going to pay for this? And I think that generally has come through and risen through the ranks in many years. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about history, about assessment, if you... feel so moved or you've been in prison for a while and have nothing else to write about, questions about math or questions about anything. And if you stump the panel, you win one of our fabulous t-shirts. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a t-shirt. So come on. Again, the winter's going to go away and everybody wants short sleeves at some point or another. So you can get those questions to us in any number of ways.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Well, we have a number of questions that are coming to us about 1990s trivia.
Ooh.
Which, that's pretty recent history.
Something I can actually remember.
Well, something, that yes. We can all kind of remember that way. And they're questions that deal with everything from TV to music and all types of 1990s stuff. Okay, and these were run off actually from an internet site and given to me by two of my Canadian history students, wondering if they would get extra credit. I told them no, but they could win a t-shirt, so they seemed okay with it.
Okay, that's good.
You can tell it's midterm time when they start hitting you up for extra credit.
Is David Byrne in that class?
No, he took it the last time it was offered. Okay. No, this is one of our lacrosse players. Pat is one of them, and his partner in crime, Jim, so... They're pretty nice guys.
I need to track him down. If he listens to this program when it's on air, and I haven't gotten him yet, he can track me down.
Oh,
the thing at Bowling Green. Session. because another student was going to do it, and then her coach changed some dates and things interfered.
Now, Davey, as you know, is a golfer, one of our Canadian golfers, so, and a very good one, too. He was in the Canadian Pro-Am last year. Woohoo, played at a really posh Westin Golf and Country Club outside of Toronto. Woohoo, yeah, pretty nice. And interestingly enough, today's the day President Obama's in Canada. I talked to my cousins, two of them yesterday, and they said the Obama mania was riding high in Ottawa as well as Toronto, and he's not even visiting Toronto. But yeah, there were lots of excitement. Of course, it'll probably not be exciting since they're going to be talking about Afghanistan and NAFTA, but... It's a friendly crowd to start with.
It's nice to have a president who actually seeks out our neighbor to the north.
Well, it's nice that, as my one cousin put it, that the crowds that are going to come to see him won't be carrying signs like the last president, that when he came to visit Canada, he was met by 2,000 people screaming at him to leave their country. So this time around, Obama is very, very welcome there.
Oh, good.
Okay. So let's see what Pat and Jim got for us here. We'll start with the TV trivia questions. Okay. What Nickelodeon animated series was named after the cartoonist apartment manager and his one-time college roommate?
SpongeBob?
Not SpongeBob. This is a duo.
Oh, is it Ren and Stimpy?
It's Ren and Stimpy, yeah. I wonder which.
How did I forget Ren and Stimpy?
I was going to say, oh my goodness, they were, for a while, they were pretty big.
They were pretty hot, yep.
I wonder which one was the college roommate. Probably Stimpy?
Yeah. I was a Pinky in the Brain aficionado myself.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because that's what Michael had on.
Anyway. I forgot for a minute that this was 90, so I had to go back a decade.
That's okay. The 90s, really, those weren't too bad of years.
No.
No, not really.
Peace, prosperity.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I could go with those, really. No, you know, not in the whole deficit-wise. What comic said, I'm out of here, to Saturday Night Live when he left the show in 1991?
Eddie Murphy?
No, this would be a comic who did some stint as a sports broadcaster and actually now seems to be to the right or a commentator.
Yes.
Dennis Miller.
That's it. Dennis Miller.
Yeah. I was going to say Super Bowl. And then he did a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did
Monday Night Football.
Oh, that, yeah, close enough.
Not well, but he did.
Yeah, he did.
And now he's Bill O'Reilly's best bud.
Right, yeah, which is kind of, okay.
Lonely?
Maybe. Wouldn't want to say. Okay. What Seinfeld character often yelled, get out, while delivering a savage two-handed push to the chest on the program?
Oh, Elaine.
Yeah, she did that a lot.
She did that a lot. Yeah, that was funny.
Unless you would be at the receiving end, I think that would probably be like, uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. What animated family typically kicks off each show by kicking back on their couch?
The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. And what is the street of the Simpsons?
Oh, we need Matthew here for that.
I was going to say, that's Mr. Matt.
I don't know. I'm not even going to lie. Or right, guess.
Are you a Simpsons aficionado?
I don't know that.
No.
It's Evergreen Terrace.
Okay. I believe you.
As you say, Matt, who loves
Matt would know
every
those
piece of trivia
things.
On that in the world.
I would not.
Okay. What cable channel unleashed the two-headed cat dog on their unsuspecting viewing public? It's a two-headed cat dog. One cat had one dog head.
That was
in the '90s.
It's the '90s.
That wasn't Nick.
Yeah, it was. It was Nickelodeon. Nick?
Mm-hmm. See, I was asking like my mother used to play games. That wasn't such.
But that counts. That counts. Okay. Okay.
Never heard of it. It was. I obviously it was.
Then there were
cartoon.
Yeah.
Then there were the Angry Beavers. Yes.
Yes, there's lots of that. In fact, beavers are now back in Detroit for the first time. Obviously, that shows us that the Detroit River and Lake Erie is obviously a lot more clean if the beavers are coming back, because they do not tolerate pollution. They don't. They want clean water. Hey, the beaver was a gentleman that paid a lot of bills for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they got that really cool coat, you know, that glossy coat and that really water repellent.
Dan and I
are
going to invest in a couple beaver hats.
You should. Yeah. That was the bling, honey, of the 17th century, wasn't it? I'm not lying.
Seriously.
Europeans
seriously.
Totally wanted that beaver fur thing going on. Okay. What actor locked lips with Larry King to close this rare on-air interview with this reclusive actor?
It wasn't Paul Newman.
Not Paul Newman. Let's see. Wow. Very interesting stage and film career.
Marlon Brando.
That's it. Yeah, Marlon Brando. Yeah. Oof.
Locked lips.
With Larry King, too. Oh.
That must have gone over almost as well as the Sammy Davis kissing Archie Bunker.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. One of the great scenes.
Oh, that was fabulous. It really was good. What club did the Beverly Hills 90210 gang open up next to the Peach Pit Diner?
I don't know. The Ventura Club.
The Who Cares Club.
The Ventura Club.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, actually, it's not really an original name at all. It's called the Peach Pit After Dark.
Okay. I never watched the show.
I know my nieces were totally into that show.
No,
really,
I just...
really into it.
I figured rich white Californians, not something I was interested in.
Well, I think because, you know, that their lives were so non...
Their lives were perfectly perfect.
Warm in California, yeah.
They had to create these circumstances for them to participate in to make a show.
My one niece had a huge crush on who was a little Canadian actor that was on there, Jason Priestley, the guy who played Brandon Walsh. Mm-hmm. My one niece like was so in love with this guy. It's so odd because they're running that program now on the Soap Network. Entertainment Weekly did this thing saying, "Oh, you tune in because it said what a good program it was," and I thought, "Okay, whatever."
No.
What cop show lingered over the death of Detective Bobby Simone for 5 long episodes? Wow, that's a long time over.
NYPD Blue.
It is NYPD Blue. Oh, that's the character that Jimmy Smits played, wasn't it?
I think so. Before he became elected president or whatever.
He was great on The West Wing. I admit it. I was a West Wing junkie. I totally admit it. Loved the program. Thought it was really well written.
Well, in the earlier part of this decade, we were all hoping that Martin Sheen would be elected president.
President Bartlett.
Failing him, I was ready to go back for Michael Douglas.
Why not?
President.
I would have worked with Michael Douglas. I think it could have worked really, really well instead of Bozo the Clown that we had for a while there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But isn't it interesting that Batman and Robin have fallen out here?
Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. Who'd have thunk it? You know, you never would have thunk it. What former Cheers character could be reached at 555-KACL in Seattle?
Oh, Fraser Crane.
Yeah, Dr. Crane. That must have been the number for his radio program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know my dad liked that program because he loved the dog. Mm-hmm. You know, the little Jack Russell Terrier?
Mm-hmm. Eddie.
Eddie, yeah. That's it. Dad loved that dog. What White House cabinet member did Will Ferrell portray on Saturday Night Live wearing a royal blue dress and pearls?
Oh, Janarino.
Janarino.
He was actually really good at it, too.
She must have been a good sport because she showed
up
that
on.
Time.
Right, she came on.
And I always thought, well, you're a pretty good sport there, Attorney General Reno. What NBC soap opera outlasted the spinoffs Somerset and Texas before ending a 35-year run? Wow, that's a long time.
As the World Turns.
No.
The Days of Our Lives.
No, that's still on.
Lord. I'm just guessing.
I've got an old
General Hospital still on.
Yeah, that's still on. All my darn children is still on.
My damn children.
I know.
After 30 years, I ought to have a lot of damn children.
You'd think so. This is called Another World.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. You knew it?
I've heard of it.
Oh.
I've heard of it, too. Yeah,
okay. But wow, 35 years, that's
some. My late grandmother used to watch all those shows.
And I never got into them.
My grand would do everything because she'd say, I want to watch my stories for like 2 hours in the afternoon. And that was it. She would run around and do everything so she could not feel guilty and watch those. And then she and her family would talk about these people like they were real. So if you came into a room and you'd hear like, oh my goodness, Janice, you know, that poor girl, she's in a coma. And you're like, oh my God, Grandma, who's in a coma? Then you'd find out it was like somebody on this television program.
In American Quarterly, you know, the American Studies Journal, it was the 70s or early 80s, scholar did an article called Artificial Social Relations, and there's chock full of just the letters people would write to the characters.
Oh, my God.
They would send them gifts to the characters. You know, they thought these people were really
having trouble with reality.
Okay, yes. I have to admit, I do have one kind of soap opera addiction. It's Coronation Street on CBC.
Yeah, I know.
I admit it. I'm total. It's terrible.
So does Edwin, doesn't he?
Edwin and Andu. Mm-hmm. My dad watched it. It's like it's
terrible.
How long
has it been on?
It's been on over 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. It started in the 60s in England, and it showed on CBC, and I don't know how it happened, but it's really terrible.
Is it cheesy like ours?
No, it's so well acted. That's the thing that's so horrible about it. But it is. It's really awful. When I'm in China, I'm just going to freak out because I'm going to miss a whole week more than of that, and I'll miss the reruns.
Edwin, I'll tape it for you.
I hope so. He better. Okay. What TV movie showcased introduced the mechanical quipsters named Gypsy, Tom Servo, and Crow? They used to kind of appear in shadows in the corner.
Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's it. Mm-hmm. MST3K, which was always very good.
That was hilarious.
I still have my tape. I remember showing it to my freshman orientation discussion group when we still did PTV that way of the story of home economics. It was a film that was an educational film to encourage young women to apply to home ec programs.
Oh, they spoofed that.
Was it hysterical?
We're gonna model it with our new YouTube stuff.
That's right. So while we think about that, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1968.
I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right is History Professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Fred. Normally on my left is Russell McLaughlin, but he's in Spain looking after some stock that the University of Detroit owns. And this leaves our guest middleman, Lawrence Kanjar, who is dean of the College of Engineering.
All alone.
No, what you're doing is replacing three people. The questions you had on the program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or American. We have some amplification here. First of all, from Hanaban, Louisiana. Mrs. Elizabeth R. Beale. I heard a program last Saturday morning on WWL Radio that I understand was taped by the University of Detroit. You understand correctly. The question asked was, who named the flag Old Glory? Well, I know that William Driver called the flag Old Glory. William Driver was the master of the brig Charles Daggett. He raised the flag on his ship August the 10th, 1831, saying, I name thee Old Glory. Have you heard that story before, friend?
No, I haven't.
Well, it must be true. If
the interesting question now is, how does everybody else find out? How does something like this come into general usage?
Oh, the members of his crew blabbed as soon as they hit ashore, you know.
Yes, you heard the old man did. What a dumb thing.
Good PR man on the ship.
Yeah.
And we're back with questions from my Canadian history students dealing with the 90s. And while they'll get no extra credit, they'll at least get some T-shirts out of the deal.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
Well,
oh, they will, yes.
One stale way or cookie. Another, they'll get that. We'll I could give them a cookie. Yeah.
It'll be a few days from now, so
that's
be stale.
True. They went with,
they're really good now, though.
Yeah, so those were hockey cookies, desperation cookies. When the Red Wings make me nervous, now I bake instead of smoke. So I guess that's a better thing.
Works out for us.
It works out. You know, it does that. Yeah. Okay.
No, they're good.
What company did Carson Productions spin off to produce David Letterman's late night show?
Oh, No Pants?
Not No Pants, but you got the pants part.
Something Pants.
What does the W in WWW stand for?
Worldwide
Pants.
Worldwide Pants.
It's Worldwide Pants. That's right.
Well, he used to, in his early days.
No Pants. That was the Homer Simpson.
That
was the Homer Simpson.
I was like,
say
no
something
pants.
Bad about pants.
In his early days, Letterman was a classic. He used to stand on the top of his building, and they used to be taping NBC Today show. And they were doing a week where they were taping on the roof. So it was back when they had Brian Gumbel.
Oh, yes.
And Jane, what's her name? Jane somebody. Mm-hmm. And it was, so he would go out on his roof and he would say,
Jane Pauley.
Good morning, yeah. Whatever. I'm not wearing pants. But he would do this.
Oh, my
this.
God.
He's hilarious. Well, the
oh
stuff he used
God,
to do
so
in, at the beginning.
I
of
remember
that show.
When I was an undergraduate in Indiana, watching him do the weather on Eyewitness News out of Indianapolis. Yes.
He was a weather
he
was
yeah.
guy?
He was a very funny weatherman.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, because I can't imagine him seriously doing the weather. I mean, I could just think of him being clowning about, but not, okay.
There was a lot of that, which I think ended up pushing him in a certain direction career-wise.
Mm-hmm. What sit-down comic spent 6.5 years as Conan O'Brien's late-night second banana?
Andy Richter.
Yeah, it was Andy. What's he doing now, anyway? It kind of like dropped out of sight, eh?
Selling shoes.
Well, he had didn't he have one or two failed sitcoms himself? You know?
He did. I just thought like maybe I wonder if he's doing like.
Now Conan, stand-up. He's done. He's now taking Jay Leno's place
because his last show, the White Stripes are going to play on it.
Oh,
Detroit's own White Stripes
and
Meg and Jack.
I don't know if they've picked a replacement show yet for Conan. I never watched it; it's on too late.
I know. I rarely watch it.
There was a discussion that,
but I like it when I can. Like you know,
shoot, who's the Jimmy, the guy that was on Saturday Night Live that had that with Drew Barrymore? That he was the super Boston Red Sox fan.
He was. He did the news.
Yeah,
opposite,
I know who you mean. Yeah,
he was talking. They were talking about having him follow.
Jimmy.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the ultimate Red Sox fan.
If you have the answer to that trivia question, call us.
Yeah. Right,
it'll
come to me.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, Conan was on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Oh, really?
And he's quite an intelligent person.
Oh yeah. Oh,
he's
obviously
just,
you couldn't have that kind of wit and not be.
So,
yeah.
But it was actually one of the better interviews. It was it was really enjoyable to listen to.
Jimmy Farrell.
That's
Jimmy Farrell.
There we go. Okay.
Thank you.
I was just Rolodexing all Mick names in my head. That usually works. You start with A and start going through them. What did Kramer dub the dreaded apparatus, Wet and Wild, and the Big E on Seinfeld episodes? This is a procedure that I'm sure most people would not welcome.
The drilling the teeth, getting a tooth drilled?
No, it's a different center of a different
an
point.
Prostate?
An enema, yeah.
Well, that was close. Yes. I was going to say prostate.
I love the dreaded apparatus. That's actually pretty classy in that way. What Fox sitcom rewrote Peg's on-the-air pregnancy to her husband's bad dream? Yeah.
Which actually, when we had our contest with the biology and chemistry folks last week,
you
know, the Lincoln Darwood Day thing, we drew a line from Married with Children, the episode that in which Bubba Smith was a guest, and they were recalling when he went up against Al Bundy in high school football.
Oh, my Lord.
And he said, "Bundy, I'm going to drop you like third period French."
Ow! Oh! Ooh!
So that's what we told the science folks.
That's
we're
going to drop you like third period French. Ow, that's the ultimate that way. This animated sitcom clown is the son of a very disappointed rabbi named Hyman Krzyzkowski. Who is that clown?
Krusty.
Yeah, it's Krusty.
Krusty. Oh.
Do you remember the episode that they did the takeoff on?
No.
It's kind of like the jazz singer that they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, they did it. And it was really clever, you know, in a sense that, it, as most of their episodes are, they're pretty well written, but this kind of did the whole bit that way, that his dad wanted him to be a cantor, just like, again, in the original Jazz Singer, which is such a great film. I love that film. What Cartoon Network show headlined a brother and sister from two different species?
Cartoon show?
Yeah, it's a cartoon show that
had
a brother and sister.
Nickelodeon?
No, a Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network?
That was in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, there is a Cartoon Network. That's the answer?
But no. It's a brother and sister, but there are two different types of animals.
You're asking for the title of the show?
Yeah, the title of the show. The cow and chicken?
No idea what you're talking about.
I know.
We're so deprived.
That's the name of the show, Cow and Chicken?
Cow and Chicken. And I guess maybe that's one I missed. It was the 90s. I don't know. Michael's shaking his head in the production booth, so he must know it. I don't know.
Regular viewing, Michael?
Okay. Well, there we go. This was the only female cast member to endure the decade-long run of Beverly Hills 90210.
It's probably Tori Spelling.
It is, Dan. How did you know that? I thought you said you didn't watch it.
Because all the other people on there, they got.
Left.
I know they got left, like Shannon Doherty,
yeah,
who's left every show that she's been on because she's impossible.
She didn't leave Little House on the Prairie. She actually played a little girl character
on Little House.
She
was on there?
Absolutely. My grandmother thought she was adorable. Wow. Which she was. She was a very pretty child.
Maybe when she was three.
She looked about like six or seven.
She quickly outgrew that.
Yeah, well, maybe it was having to wear those little prairie bonnets or
something. You weren't charmed by her, huh?
She left charmed because she couldn't get along with Cass either.
Really?
That's what I read.
In the New York Times Entertainment.
I also have friends who I have to hear this from, so.
Oh, okay. Right. What sitcom character lost at Jeopardy despite categories like civil service?
Oh, Cliff Clavin.
Oh, that is one of the great all-time episodes.
Yeah, that's probably one of the better episodes.
Particularly when they right before they go into Final Jeopardy and Norm and Woody are watching the audience and said, "He's up by $20,000.
That's right.
Only a complete idiot could lose it now."
And there you go.
And that's
exactly what did it. Yeah, because stamps from around the world, mothers and sons in a category called beer. Well, you're right. How could he miss this? Michael, again, comes through with some newsflash, an update about Andy Richter. And let's see. Richter left his post at Late Night in 2000. His first major venture, Fox's Andy Richter Controls the Universe, was canceled after two mid-season runs. His next Fox sitcom, Quintuplets, lasted one season. His most recent television series was Andy Barker, P.I., which was co-written and executive produced by Conan O'Brien.
Which obviously, since as we're going around the table, nobody has any recognition of that.
Really
it did
sad.
Well.
So the series played on NBC, all six episodes in the first season on NBC.com, so I guess they were streaming it. Mm. He's an accountant who couldn't attract clients after a woman came to his office thinking he is a former tenant, a private investigator. She asked him to find her husband, who she thinks faked his death. He becomes a private detective, but continues to do his accounting job.
That sounds thrilling. I'm sorry that I missed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, although, wow. Oh, he went to Columbia College in Chicago. He's a film major. Good school. And he was raised in Yorkville, Illinois, where he was elected prom king.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Really?
In fact, he's a Michiganian. Paul Andrew Richter, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's where he was born.
Oh.
Woohoo! So, Michael, thank you for that update.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
But he got that off of Wikipedia, so...
But that's okay.
So it's probably true.
It gots to be.
I'm going to go in an altruist.
Yeah, really. Why not? What one-time Good Morning America anchor helped open the door for celebrity drug endorsements with an ad for Claritin that she did the TV ad for the nasal medication Claritin?
Wait, repeat the question.
All right. This is a woman who was a co-host or anchor on Good Morning America, which I think is the ABC morning show.
Yeah, it's ABC.
Okay. And she did a celebrity drug endorsement for TV ads for the medication Claritin.
Oh, what's her name on CBS?
Deborah Norville. Oh,
Katie Couric?
Katie Couric?
No.
Deborah
this
Norville?
Is interesting. Initials are JL.
Jackie, Joey,
Jessica.
It's Jocelyn. Joan London.
Oh.
London, yeah.
Oh, that's, Joan London. That's what happened to her?
I guess she's out there doing some Claritin.
She's selling pharmaceuticals.
I could be. I don't know.
She's at the Betty Ford Center.
I was
going
to say,
Don't you love the pharmaceutical commercials?
Anybody
who actually pays attention to, they spend about a third of their time telling you all the horribly nasty things that could.
The side effects are so frightening. Oh, yeah. Lord, don't give me that.
What cracks me up is the pharmaceuticals have now decided that they can't make enough money selling them to the doctors that they're supposed to be selling them to, that they're going to go straight to us.
So
and they're trying to peddle the drugs to us.
So you'll go to your doctor and say, oh, I just saw this ad and I really need this medication.
Criminal.
It is criminal.
It's
going to
make me nauseous, depressed, my eyes
I've heard
run, my
the
ears
list.
Ring.
Oh, no. Those are the nice ones.
Of course, the way they're buying off the doctors, is pretty criminal.
Paralysis, heart attack, stroke, you know. And then they spend like a third of the commercial going through all this while some happy person bounces around on the beach.
I've often wondered the connection between the visual and the condition they're advertising.
There isn't anything.
Yeah, it's kind of scary that way. You notice where you don't see a lot of those ads are on CBC, on Canadian TV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why?
Because there's a limitation on those.
Oh, good. Well, they should do that in this country.
Absolutely. Is that why their drugs are cheaper?
Probably. I would think it could be.
There's a lesson there.
Yeah, that's right. What was Studio 33 at Television City in California named for to mark the Price is Right's 5,000th episode?
For Bob Barker?
Yeah, it was named the Bob Barker Studio. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't still do that show, does he?
No, Drew Carey does.
Really?
Yeah.
Not particularly well, I don't think.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
He's getting better for a few episodes I've actually seen.
Okay, there. So let me thank our panel. Professor Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy.
Professor Maggio.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, this word from Andy Richter. No, the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies studios here on the McNichols campus of the University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, witnessed, and just saved by information week after week by Michael Jason. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Let's go, Titans!